grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Another super, super special edition of Marijuana Media. We have the legend that is Helen Clark on the phone. Hello, Helen.
Hi there. Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Right on. First of all, thanks so much for all the hard work that you've been doing.
I never stop, but I've been trying to get the facts out there and some reason and evidence and civility on the cannabis debate, so, you know, let's hope some of it's getting through.
Does it feel like in the last week or two that there has been a corner turned and the yes vote might get over the line?
Well, if you go back a year or so before there was a firm proposal, the yes vote was quite strong. Mm. And then, you know, in came other influences, shall we say, and there's been some good work done on exposing, you know, the lines coming out of, you know, Scientology in the US and other, shall we say, interesting groups which have been misleading the New Zealand public. So I think the supporters have rallied. Actually, the last three polls have been quite encouraging. But hey, it's close. We need young people out there voting, because in the end, this is about them. You know, there's not too many older people, you know, taking cannabis for their glaucoma who are going to be raided and arrested. It's young people at a party, and it's particularly young, young ethnic minority people, including Māori. So, you know, this isn't right the way we deal with it in New Zealand. It's unfair to people, and it really is futile to try to ban and enforce a ban on a drug which up to 80% of us will use in our lifetime.
The people have spoken, haven't they, in a sense. Now, Helen, let's get back to this disinformation, because it is completely fascinating and mind-boggling at the same time. What does the Church of Scientology have
Why do they have a dog in this fight? What have they got to gain?
What the fuck? Like, it's just like, what is going on here?
Well, unfortunately, people take very strong ideological positions on something like this. So they'll run a line that just says drugs are bad. Hey, I'm not promoting people smoking cannabis. I'm not promoting people smoking tobacco. I'm not promoting people
taking Panadol.
But hey, people do it. Yeah. People do it. And throughout history, human beings have looked for some kind of substance that will make life happier for them, make them feel better, take them out of their reality, whatever. You could be chewing something called cut in the Middle East. You could be chewing a betel nut in parts of the world. You could have opium in parts of Asia. I mean, you know, cannabis has been widely used in other societies. It's just a pure accident of history that it wasn't legal in Western societies when the global drug conventions were written, and there was a lot of power lay with, you know, what we now call the West, which didn't accept it as a drug. Well, it accepted tobacco and alcohol, which are more dangerous. So it's really about putting, you know, history right here.
I like how you said it was just an accident of society, Western society.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a real shame, isn't it?
Now, there's a lot of concern about vulnerable communities and the chaos that cannabis may cause on them. How will vulnerable communities and vulnerable people be protected once if it becomes legalized?
So, firstly, people who want to get cannabis in New Zealand can get it now, right? I mean, anyone who seriously wants it, they're going to go out and buy it. Mm-hmm. There's actually far more protections in the law, because when you set up a system of licensed retailers that are having to sell a product with specified contents, this is enormously safer than going to the, quote, tinny house and buying something which could be laced with anything and having other stuff, harder stuff, pushed at you. So it's much more protective to have it in a proper specialist licensed premise, in my opinion. Now, in addition, the Cannabis Control Authority, which would be set up, will be under clear guidelines about where outlets can be permitted. For example, not near schools, right? They're not going to be popping up like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried by every school, not by community centres, not by churches, etc. And I very much doubt that you will see anything like the numbers of specialised cannabis stores that you see of grog stores on every corner. But as I say, you can almost guarantee that the number of licensed premises will be rather less than the number of tinny houses that are out there at the moment.
Totally. Hey, we've had a question here just asking how is the homegrown marijuana going to be regulated for quality and quantity and strength and stuff? What are your insights on that? I guess people will be able to source seeds from...
Yes. Someone asked me about seeds, and I said, well, I mean, it's kind of a layer of detail that I haven't been able to get anything authoritative out of my research on it. But I said, presumably, if the shops can sell the leaf and flower, they can also sell the seed. So, you know, that's a possibility. The other thing is, if it's legal to use and grow your own property, people, you know, swap seeds a bit like they swap the camellia clipping.
That happens already. Yeah, absolutely.
That happens already,
Now, one of the arguments put forward from the Vote Yes campaign for legalising recreational cannabis is suggesting that we'll have greater fairness and social justice. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, totally. So the way our justice system is implemented is discriminatory. When I was PM, particularly the last 3 years, we had quite a drive on trying to stop, you know, the disproportionate arrests, conviction and imprisonment rate of Māori, which was 3 to 4 times that of other New Zealanders. Now, if you look at cannabis, it's around 3 times the number of Māori who get caught up in the criminal justice system because of cannabis. And, of course, there is the whole bigger issue about systemic bias and so on, but you're not going to have a magic wand and take that out with one wave. One thing we can remove it from is cannabis if we legalise it and stop the police harassing predominantly young Māori for possessing and using it, let alone supplying it. We've also got the opportunity, by the way, to bring those who are growing now into the legal economy, make honest citizens of them so they can stand tall in their communities. And, of course, with a proper licence system of sale, they can then sell to legal distributors and not to the, you know, the gangs that come around to collect.
Right, right. Hey, Helen, when you were in power, how on the radar was this issue, and did you think it was like far away, or you know, how come you kind of didn't have a crack in it then, or like, what do you feel has changed?
Yeah, well, a couple of things have changed. Yes, it was on my radar, but we hadn't had anything like the scale of development of legalisation offshore
around
that we
the
have
world.
Now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
we've got a lot of models to look at now, don't we?
We've got many models. We've got the Uruguay one where they sell it through the pharmacies. I think the pharmacists are probably object here. We've got the Canadian one, which ours is probably closest to. We've got a range of different models in the US, and I think Vermont just became the 11th state to approve cannabis, and a couple, I think two or three more, have got referenda coming up very, very soon. The Capital Territory, D.C., in the U.S. Has legalized it. We've got moves in Luxembourg, interesting moves on change in Norway, and, of course, long-standing, much more tolerance in the Netherlands and Portugal and so on. So we know a lot more than we did. Now, I was interested in it, long have been, but for the last 6 years of my 9 years as PM, we entered a confidence and supply agreement with United Future, and they had a bee in their bonnet about cannabis. And a red line issue for them in the agreements was that the government would make no move to legalise cannabis. So that kind of shot that out of the water. So I'm pleased that the issue has been able to come up again in this current context where many more countries are doing it. And I really hope Kiwis will see that this is the realistic and the right thing to do.
Do you think that the legal job market and the tax revenue from this will be a legitimate boost to the local economy?
Absolutely. And we have a COVID-19 stressed local economy, right? We just lost, with COVID, 25% of our export dollar revenue. That's a hole in the economy and a significant gross domestic product hole as well. So the figures around cannabis go like this, that the tax take, let alone total, you know, size of GDP contribution, the tax take would probably be close to $500 million. The NZ Institute of Economic Research said 450 to 490. Burl, the consultants who advise the government thought a lot more. But you can't put the price too high, because if you do, then you'll have organised crime undercutting. So you have to find a balance there somewhere. So that's considerable. Now, if you add to, say, the $500 million in new tax revenue, and remember, the profit's been there all along. Mm. We just haven't been taxing it. All the profit's been pocketed by gangs who are outside the tax net, right? Add to that the $200 million we save on the police costs and probably another $50 million a year on the jails, the courts, and the Crown prosecutors. I think, conservatively, New Zealand would probably be $750 million better off for public revenue a year.
Far out. It adds up, doesn't it?
It adds up. Not small money.
Yeah, totally.
And just speaking to the concerns of people who are worried about the health effects and concerns around drug driving, do you think that there's enough in the current legislation to cope with that or deal with that, or are those concerns valid?
Well, to the extent that there is drug driving, it's there now. Mm. And clearly it is an offence against the law to drive when impaired by any substance. Mm. That includes alcohol, it includes cannabis, it includes any substance which can impair your driving. So nothing changes in that respect. But one thing that does concern me a lot is that the way they're testing for cannabis doesn't actually just test impairment. It tends to
residual.
Bring out whether you've used it in the last X weeks.
Apparently walking the line's the best one, there, you can... If, you know, the classic walking the line. But, yeah, the saliva test is a little bit problematic, for sure.
Rather dodgy. Mm. And you know, this dodgy testing is being used a lot in workplaces. Mm. You know, a friend who organises in the freezing works industry said to me, you know why they can never get enough workers? It's the drug testing.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
Look, there's no reason why someone who has, you know, a smoke at a party on a Saturday night shouldn't be fit for work on Monday, just as a person who has a hangover on Saturday night can be fit for work on Monday. So we've got to be a bit more realistic. There's a very, very good article on Newsroom NZ about this, saying cannabis use does not equal impairment. So we need urgent work done on that.
Yeah, we do.
Now, the key things for people to take away if they're going to go out and vote, we've still got time to enrol, vote.nz. What should they be considering? What should be top of mind for them when they're making the decision as to how they should vote, Helen?
Top of mind is not to keep criminalising and blighting the lives of mainly young New Zealanders who are prosecuted, convicted of using, possessing or supplying cannabis. This should stop. Mm. It's ridiculous.
It can screw up the trajectory of someone's life, for sure.
It can start a downward spiral, the recruitment of the gang and the rest of it. But even if it doesn't hit that hard, it will stop you travelling if we're ever allowed to travel again. There's countries that won't let you in with a conviction, including Australia. If you want to go and see your parents who've moved over there, you have to get a waiver every time you want to get on the plane, right?
Wow.
And also it affects people getting jobs. People look at the criminal record and say, oh, no thanks. You know, so it ain't right.
Correct. And I guess I wanted to just remind people that it is a bill that we can amend it as we go, so it's kind of important to just get it in and do the right thing. And then, like you say, with this test, you know, drug testing stuff, we can kind of fine-tune that as we go, you know.
Yes, that's correct. I think you're right. There's a difference between this referendum and the end-of-life choice one. The end-of-life choice one, Parliament has already passed the legislation, and it comes into effect when people vote yes. Mm-hmm. With the cannabis one, Andrew Little has put up a bill. Put up a good bill.
Mm.
With the referendum passing, that bill goes to Parliament. Now, there'll be submissions, there'll be debate. It could end up even, you know, altered a little bit one way or the other.
Yeah.
But that bill is the general shape of what would happen. And I think it's actually quite a conservative measure in many ways, but because it's breaking new ground and making something legal, albeit that it's very widely used already, I think he struck the right tone.
Yeah, no, our expert, Chris Fowley, thinks that it's pretty impressive, and he's seen a lot. So, and I just think we, you know, get it in, and we can meld it to whatever was going to work. You know, like it's a
That's
brave
right.
move, but New Zealanders aren't shy in the past of making sort of bold moves. You know, politically for the greater good. You know, we've got a good strong history of that. So,
well, we have, and we've got a history of being a progressive country. Mm. And frankly, we would look a little daft if we knocked
us. I agree.
Back.
I really agree. Yeah.
A Canadian's just smarter than us, you know. It's a lot smarter.
In a way, it is education. The more you educate smarter. Yourself, the more you really just have to go with yes. I mean, the more
I
you look
so.
Into it. Oh, Helen, what a pleasure to talk to you on 95BFM, and I would be foolish if I didn't ask you for a station ID, if you could give us one.
A station ID?
Oh, like a, hi, this is Helen Clark, and you're tuned to 95BFM.
Oh, absolutely. Awesome. Hi, I'm Helen Clark, and I'm talking on 95BFM.
Kia ora, Helen. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work. We're always watching in awe.
Thank you.
Kia ora, bye.
Bye now.
Do it, babe.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.